Been interesting today. At least three or four speakers have discussed resistance. And I don't think anyone would argue that as far as evolving issues facing weed management, resistance is key. And most important, at least to many of us, are the glyphosate-resistant weeds that many of our growers are facing. Now, which weed is the most challenging? Obviously, it's the weed that you have on your farm on any given day. But they all can cause a significant impact on the economic production of our cotton crop. Now, herbicide resistance and the weed issues that we're currently facing is extremely challenging, and it takes a significant amount of time to really address managing these weeds and especially limiting the spread. So I want to take just a second and encourage you guys to attend some of the belt-wide workshops. For example, this afternoon there's a resistance pest workshop. I know Dr. York will be talking there. Tomorrow there's a workshop roundtable. Dr. Smith will be there. And there are at least 10 papers in the research conference area Wednesday afternoon and Thursday that will be discussing resistance of numerous weeds. So again, I want to take this opportunity to encourage you to go to those different workshops or presentations. Now, I want to take just a second, and my objective is really to tweak your interest and convince you into going to those workshops and to those presentations. Palmer Amaranth, and we've already heard two or three speakers talk about it today, definitely in the Southeast and in the Mid-South, is already a major problem, and it's simply a matter of time before it's a problem over in this part of the world. But if you read different farm presses, et cetera, you got all kinds of neat weeds. One of the most recent ones was a superweed. And I think it was pretty accurate, because if you look at some of the pests we're fighting, especially the glyphosate-resistant Palmer Amaranth, folks like myself a lot of times cannot develop you a herbicide weed control program that will guarantee you'll pick your crop. In the past, we could do it. We had the tools, the products worked, and things were great. But what we're having to do with some of these challenging pests is we're having to develop integrated programs. And again, attend those workshops. Understand how this pest impacts conservation tillage. Understand how iron or cold steel impacts the control of some of these weeds. So take that opportunity. But I want to tweak your interest just a little bit. And if you guys were in the consultant conference yesterday, I apologize. I'm going to show a few of the same slides. But how are you supposed to manage a weed when that weed can grow 4 inches in 52 hours? Now, we're sitting here and we make a recommendation and we want it sprayed at 2 to 3 inches. And at certain times of the year in certain places in the cotton belt, it can grow 2 inches. That's a challenge. That's part of being, I think, a super weed. More importantly, or more interestingly to me, while you and I are sleeping, the Palmer Amaranth Energizer Bunny keeps right on growing. And the next day, you can actually see the growth that has occurred. That's a challenge if we're going to be timely with these, especially post-emergence herbicides. Obviously, if it grows fairly rapidly, if it has the correct conditions, and it's very drought tolerant, so if it has anywhere near decent conditions, it will get extremely large. You can see Dr. York on one side, and you can see one of our University of Georgia county agents. Everybody says he's on his knees. He's not on his knees, and he's about 6 foot tall. So this plant can be extremely aggressive. And when it's aggressive and it grows in your cotton crop, it greatly will reduce your cotton crop as well as a soybean crop, etc. But not only does it reduce your crop production, it impacts that harvesting efficiency. With the size of the diameter of the stems, it'll also impact your spindles or your bars on your cotton picker. And in addition to that, look at the seed development that is occurring in that field. I will probably be retired before we're able to get all the seeds out of that field. And that is also very key for you to understand. Different resistant weeds, and this is just a several of the Roundup or glyphosate resistant weeds across the U.S., and you can see water hemp and Palmer Amaranth, they're essentially cousins, basically pigweed species. And depending on the crop they're growing in will impact how many seeds they will produce, but you can see massive quantities of seed. So what this should tell you is you have 1 to 2 years to get this resistant pest removed from that area, or it will take your field, like one of our speakers already said. It took his very rapidly, and this is one of the reasons it's capable of doing that. Now, horseweed certainly can spread rapidly through seed dispersal. Palmer Amaranth is a little different. It doesn't travel very far by seed dispersal from the plant. It may travel on equipment, it may travel on water, it may travel in several different areas. But it does have a unique ability to spread. And this was another article. I think it was very important. When palm amaranth and I guess horseweed came along, the time to look at your neighbor and say, hey, I need to know what you're doing because what you're doing impacts me, becomes extremely important when you're fighting pests like this. Back in 2004, we had one county that we had confirmed glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth. Now, we had it in more spots. Nobody's going to say we didn't, but we had it confirmed in one county. If you look today, you see it's in 6 or 7 states and a whole lot of counties. Now, we're not saying the population in Georgia spread to the population in North Carolina or it spread to the population in Arkansas or Tennessee, but what is happening once a population develops in a given area, its ability to spread outward in a field and across fields, it's very, very rapid. And it's very important for you to understand its spread because the only economical management tactic, and the key word there is economical management tactic, is prevention. And you can't prevent it if you don't understand how it spreads. Now, it spreads through traditional means, whether it's our bush hog, whether it's our cotton picker. But what's very unique, and I feel sure Dr. York will talk a little bit about this today, go listen to him, is the role of pollen movement. We can't manage pollen movement like we can wash a bush hog off or we can try to clean a cotton picker off, etc. But it plays a significant role, at least the data that we've generated thus far. So when you talk about managing glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth, or really glyphosate resistance in general, the biggest challenge that we had in Georgia, and we've been fighting this pest since 2004, the biggest challenge we had was convincing our growers to accept the seriousness of the situation. And I would encourage you, if you don't think this is serious, come see Georgia, or come see North Carolina, or come visit Arkansas. This is a very, very serious situation. It's changing everything that we do. Still have a lot of growers that think it won't happen to me. Well, I finally have a pretty decent slide to address the it's not going to happen to me in my state. I think I have probably had 1 or 2, maybe 3 original populations. But you can see the counties we've confirmed resistance in from 2004, 5, 6, 7. 2008, we're currently screening those counties. I've screened 4 counties. All 4 are resistant. I'm going to screen about 20 more. I'll be surprised if they're not all resistant. So the ability of this pest to spread simply tells me it is coming to see you and it will happen to you. So what is critical for you is to be preventive. Don't get in the situation like what is on the left-hand side. That's a real field back in 2006 in the state of Georgia. Now, can you manage that? If you give us $100 an acre, we can. So it's not economical. Can we deal with what's there? Sure, we can hand weed. We can do some of these things, but it's not economical. And that's the key when dealing with this. And that's why prevention is the key. It is the only economical management program that we can promise you. And you guys in this part of the world have an opportunity to address prevention far better than we do in the Southeast and the Mid-South now because we have such a significant infestation. So I'll just finish up, and I'll encourage you to, number one, realize how serious the issue this is. It's very serious. It's changing what we do significantly in those counties where we have serious populations. But prevention and early detection is essential. The slide on your left, nowadays my growers get off the tractor, and they go and pull it up, or they'll go plow it and then pull up, or some of them will get in a disc and disc it up because they know what's going on with the seed production and the pollen production. And it's critical that you take those approaches and be aggressive on the front end versus the rear end, like some of the areas, at least in our part of the world. With that, Mr. Moderator, I am through.
I'd like to thank the panelists and give them a round of applause for their excellent set of presentations. We're about out of time, and at this time, I'll turn it over back to Mr. McClendon.
Thank you, Chuck, and all our panelists. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this morning's program. I urge all of you to take advantage of the many workshops and special sessions this afternoon and the technical conferences starting tomorrow. Please join me in thanking all of our speakers today. As a reminder, tomorrow's session will begin promptly at 8 a.m. in this theater. Thank you.